You're listening to audio from Bonnet Pond Community Church. For more information, you can find us on Facebook at Bonnet Pond Church. We hope you enjoy.
I want to thank everybody for being here today. It's just a special day, just simply because it's a day that the Lord has made. And it's a day that I know there's going to be some restoration in some lives today. How do I know that? Because I prayed for it. I asked God for it. A lot of times we have lack in our life because we just simply don't pray. And I prayed that God would meet you here today, that this would be a service that you would experience, God. That was, it's always been my heart's desire for this church, is that people could come and experience God here, that we could always give God an address here at this church. I mean, we know that He's everywhere. We know that there's nowhere we can go that God's not there. But I want people to know without a shadow of a doubt that His love and His power is in this place. You know, because I do believe that revival is here in this church. I do believe that. And it's evident through the signs and the manifestations that we have seen over the last 5-6 months. Just the families that have been restored and the lives that have come to know Christ. People that are getting closer and walking with Him in a more intimate way. It's only through the power of Christ that happens. And it's not by programs. It's not by entertainment. It's only by the Spirit of God that things like that happen. I didn't write anybody's name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I didn't save anybody. I didn't heal anybody. I can't do any of that. And neither can you. It's only by the Spirit and through the Spirit of God that any of these things are even can take place. So I say that revival is here, and I want revival to continue to take place. And when you look at the word continue, it means to maintain without hesitation. I don't want God's Spirit to be hesitated in this building or in my life, because I don't want to just confine God to just a building. Do you understand? I don't want to confine God to just an address on a map. I want to be able to confine God here in this soul right here. No matter where I'm at, God's going to be and God's going to use me and work through me. So no matter where I am, no matter where you are, that revival is going to be evident in your life. So not only in this place, but also in our own life, revival is going to take place. Because I believe that through revival, and I believe through what God is trying to do in our lives, that God is wanting to display His power through a world. And you understand that whenever we're able to display the power of God in a church service like this, or through a flawed vessel like me, then when we display God's power, what we are doing, we're putting God on display for all the world to see. And that is the whole goal of our Christian lives, is not simply to be saved and go to heaven. That is great. One day we're going to spend eternity in heaven. But while we're here, I say, let's just make a difference in this world. And the only way that we can make a difference in this world is so if God's power and God's life is on display for all to see. You know, when you look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That light is that power that ought to be evident through every Christian's life. That light, that life, that power is something that ought to be seen and ought to be experienced. My goodness, everywhere I go, I want people to experience God no matter where I'm at. Not just in a church service when I'm preaching behind the pulpit, but everywhere I go, on my job, out on the street, driving down the road, I want people that come in contact with me to experience God. Can I ask you, are people experiencing God through your life this morning? Are people experiencing God through your life this morning? Or better yet, wait till you leave here and you go out to eat. I know a lot of us like to go down to Katie's Cafe. By the way, they got some good food down on the corner if you had never been there. They got good pizza, don't they, brother? That white lightning's pretty good stuff. you go down there, are people that come in contact with you, are they going to experience God through your life, even at a restaurant when you leave here today? Because God's power needs to be seen through our life. It needs to flow through us. It needs to function through us unhindered, without hesitations, without reservations in our life. It needs to flow through us. And when I start thinking about God's power, I can't help but to go back to the gifts of the Spirit, where we have the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, we have faith, we have the gift of healing, we have prophecy, the discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. And not only do we have the gifts of the Spirit, we have the 9 fruits of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That is the nature of God flowing through people. And can I ask you today, are the gifts of the Spirit evident in your life? Are the fruits of the Spirit evident in your life? Do they flow unhindered through your life today? I believe that is God's desire, that the world will be able to see that. You know, here's the thing. There was a message in tongues at this church during our revival. I can't remember who gave it. I can't remember who interpreted it. I don't know, and I don't remember. But I do remember this, that there was going to be a river that was going to flow through and under this church. And that was going to be the power of an almighty God. That's what that was going to be. That was going to be the life of God flowing not only from the pulpit to out that door, flowing through and flowing underneath, not only in here but out there as well, because it's going to spread throughout this world. I mean, God needs to be seen. The power of God needs to be seen. And here's the thing. Psalms chapter 62 and 11 says, power belongs to God. Because when you start thinking about the gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit, they're not my nature. They're the nature of God. That's His power. If anybody is going to be healed, it's going to be God did it. And if anyone says the preacher did it, you're wrong. God did it. If someone said that, man, someone gave a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, it wasn't the pastor. It wasn't the Sunday school teacher. It was God did it. If there's going to be love and joy and peace come out of my life, it's going to be because God did it. See, that's the power of God. It should flow unhindered out of a life, almost kind of like a water hose flowing, you know, water flowing through a water hose. It should flow unhindered. I know that Sister Fran here, she planted a bunch of plants out here in the front. I don't know if you notice, whenever you drive up, there's a bunch of plants that are planted out there by the cross. And I used to watch her grab out a water hose. She dragged that water hose out after every service. And she'd stand there and she'd water those thirsty plants. Because she wanted to nurture those plants, and she wanted those plants to grow, and she wanted them to be healthy. She wanted them to be nourished. And if you've ever stayed behind after church, because sometimes people, they want to get out of church and they want to go home real quick because they got dinner on the table. But if you ever stayed behind, you'd see her wash, you know, watering those plants. And I remember one time I was watching her water those plants, and she got that water hose. You ought to see her sometimes, just a trip, you know. She grabbed that water hose and she's walking. My gosh, there'd be a kink in that water hose. That water would stop immediately flowing from that water hose. And then she would try to, she'd flip that little thing. You know how like you do whenever you get a kink in the water hose? You know how you try to flip that thing? And then next thing you know, she had to walk over there and unkink it so the water would continue to flow out of that water hose. You know, that's what the Bible says to us. If we're going to allow the Spirit of God to flow through our life, then we cannot quench the Spirit of God. If the power of God is not flowing through our lives like it needs to flow, if there's a kink in the line. Can I tell you the reason why there's a kink in the line and the water is not flowing like it needs to flow? The joy is not coming out like it needs to come. The peace isn't coming out like it needs to come. The faith, the gentleness, the meekness, and the temperance is not coming out. It's because somewhere along the line, we may have quenched the spirit. And that word quench means to stop the flow. It means to extinguish the passion. And I can ask you one simple question. What do you think in our life quenches the spirit? Sin. Sin quenches the spirit in our life. Now, I'm not just talking about drinking and drugging and watching porn. I'm talking about sin and everything that sin has to offer. I'm talking about your thoughts. I'm talking about your actions. And I'm talking about your attitude. The reason why I'm preaching this morning is because I want revival to continue to happen. The reason I'm preaching that this morning is that I want the power of God to continue to flow out of your life. And I want you to be aware, and I want you to be conscious, and I want you to be sensitive to the Spirit, because I do not want you to quench the Spirit of God. Because if you're not careful, amen, what you say and what you think and what you do will quench the Spirit. Next thing you know, you're not walking in love. Next thing you know, you have no peace in your life. Next thing you know, there's no joy. There's no long-suffering. Amen. There's no gentleness in your life at all because you quench the Spirit of God. You kink the water hose. I can tell you right now, the power that lives inside of us, here's the important thing that we need to know. The power that lives in every one of us. Who's saved, right? Who's saved? Anybody in here saved today? Thank you, sir, for standing up. Thank you for raising your hand. Anybody that's saved today, guess who lives inside of you? His name is Jesus. Amen. Amen. Can I tell you that the power that's in you is not you, it's Jesus. Amen. And that quenching of the Spirit, you're quenching a person and not a thing. A lot of times we want to think that we're quenching a thing. We're not. We're quenching and grieving Jesus when we sin in our life. Even with our thought process, sometimes we're, you know, it's not all that bad. Can you see what that little girl was wearing? Did you see what, did you hear what that pastor said? Can you believe how rude the pastor's wife is? She can be a mean one, brother, I'm telling you. I want you to know how easy it is to quench the Spirit of God. I'm not talking about just cussing. I'm not talking about just drinking and getting drunk and running the road. I'm talking about this, the very sensitivity of sin can quench the very Spirit of God in your life because He feels what you feel. He feels what you allow in your life. He feels that. He feels what you look at, what you allow in your life. He feels it and it grieves Him. And when you look at things you ought not to look at, it grieves Him. And you can't walk in the Spirit when that happens. The Spirit can't flow through a man or a woman if you quench the Spirit. You grieve them. It cannot happen. Why do you think there's so many people walking out there with no joy in their life? Who do you think that joy is? His name's Jesus. Who do you think that peace is? His name's Jesus. And it can't come forth if he's grieved. If he's saddened. See, because whenever we allow things into our life that should not be there. Maybe it's some texts that we've been sending. Maybe it's some Snapchats. Oh, I'm meddling now. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said that. I am so sorry. But you know what? Hey, maybe it is a Snapchat. Nobody's going to see it. Nobody's going to know about it. Amen. Hey, it's going to go away in a little while anyway, unless somebody screenshots it. Then you'll know. You didn't know I knew all that, did you, pal? Yeah, my daughter taught me a little bit about Snapchat. I know a little bit about Snapchat. I know a little bit about looking at things I shouldn't look at. I know a little bit about listening to things like gossip and things of that nature that I shouldn't be listening to because I paid the price. I know what it's like to have the Spirit of God quenched in my life. Amen. To be walking and flowing in God. Then next thing you know, it's like, what in the world happened? I'm going to blame it on the devil somehow. I'm going to find an excuse to blame it on somebody. It's got to be somebody's fault. It can't be mine. Got to be somebody else's fault. Blame it on the preacher. Blame it on the youth pastor. Blame it on somebody. Can't be my fault. But I can tell you right now, ain't nobody made me look at it. No, ain't nobody made me listen to it. I did it on my own. Ain't nobody made me think about it. Ain't nobody made me do anything like that. I'm telling you. If you want that flow, you want that flow of the Holy Ghost to continue in your life, you want to walk with power, you want to walk in victory, do you want to walk in success in this life as a Christian? You better be careful about what you look at. I'm talking about even the little things on TV and on the radio. You know, sometimes you can't even watch Disney anymore. Do you know that? Has anybody ever watched? I watched Disney the other day. I'm like, turn that mess off. I don't want to listen. I don't want to contaminate or defile my brain or my mind. Amen. I'm trying to walk in the Spirit over here. I'm watching like Disney for crying out loud. I'm telling you to quench the Spirit in a heartbeat. You grieve the Spirit of God quick in your life. And it will cause you to think things that you shouldn't be thinking. It'll cause you to fight battles that you weren't even meant to fight. All because we quenched the Spirit, to quench the flow of God in our life. We grieved Him. We saddened Him. And some people wonder why there's no power coming out of their life or out of their church. I want to say right now that our depth of God will be determined by our tolerance to sin. And how much God is going to flow out of your life is going to be determined on how much sin you allow in your life. I've come to the place in my life that I know that the more that I walk with the Holy Spirit, the more that my priorities must change. Does that make sense? There were some things in my life when I first started walking with God that I would tolerate and I would allow in my life. But now the more and more I walk with God, the more and more I know God, the more and more I don't want to disappoint God, the more and more I want to please Him, the more and more I want to walk by faith. Amen. I don't want to sadden Him. I don't want to grieve Him. I don't want to quench the Spirit. In other words, my priorities must change. There must be a shift in my priorities if I'm going to maintain the power, the level of power in my life, or go to a deeper depth in God. My priorities must change. They must shift. And you know what? I know that if the same is for me, the same is going to be for you as well. So church, if we're going to maintain a life of revival, a life of power in this church or in our individual lives, then we must come to the place where our priorities change. Well, there must be a shift in our priorities. Or you're going to succumb to the effects of sin in our life. And we can't have that. Because just like that water hose that Sister Fran had and took it out there, all the way out there to water the plants, those plants needed that water. They needed that nourishment. And so does that world out there. So does the church. So the people that you sit next to, they need that nourishment. They need that water. They need that power. They need the joy. They need the fruits of the Spirit. They need the gifts of the Spirit in our life. And it can't flow through us if we're quenching the Spirit. And I know there's some things that, you know, we have control over, and that is what we look at and what we listen to. And the things that we do, we have control over that. And it is our responsibility. But here's another thing I wanted to say. But what about the things that people do to us? I will say, don't let the sins of others control you. Don't let the sins of others control you. Don't let the sins of others control your thought process, control your attitude, and control your actions. Because I don't know about you, but I do have some people out there that really don't like me. I know that I want everyone to like me, but there are some people out there that do not like me because simply they don't like what I stand for. I stand for righteousness and holiness. I stand for the power of God. I stand for sanctification. I stand for separation. You know, there's people out there, they're going to talk. Do anybody know that? They're going to talk. People are going to talk about you, okay? People are going to talk about you. And believe it or not, there's some family members that talk about you too. I mean, they know you better than anybody. They're going to talk about you, okay? Just don't worry about it. But if we're not careful, we'll let the people that talk about us, we'll let their sin control us. And see, if we allow the sin of others to control us, then that's another way of quenching the Spirit as well. That's another way of grieving the Spirit whenever their sin affects us. And it affects how we act. And sometimes we don't act the way we ought to act. Then that will grieve the Spirit as well. But I believe that the Lord's given us practical examples that we can put into place in our life in order to combat the sins of others. Because I understand it hurts. Am I the only one in here that it hurts whenever somebody hates you? Hurts you?
No, it hurts.
It hurts. Why do you think it's quiet in here today? It's quiet for a reason. Because the Holy Ghost saying, listen up. Listen. I got something important for you. Because he's saying, I want to maintain revival in your life. And if you don't listen to this, revival's over with. It'll be quenched in a second. But he's saying to us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Golly. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. Dang. And persecute you. Listen to this. That you may be the children of your Father in heaven. I got a friend of mine right now. He is fighting a battle within his church. And after today, he may not even be there today. He has to fight against the powers of darkness more in his church than he does out there in that world. I called him last night. I was on my way home from St. Augustine, and I called him. And I said, brother, I said, you know, I understand what you're going through. I said, I know how hurtful it is. I said, but I want you to know, no matter what they say or no matter what they do, I said, I want you to bless them. I want you just to declare life over them. I want you to ask God to prosper them, okay? Because when we do that, that frees us and that leaves no room for the devil. You know, the Bible tells us, do not give place to the devil. You know why he says that? Don't even give him a moment to even have any type of influence in your life to shape how you act, how you think, or how you behave, or how you, or your attitude. So whenever you kneel down and you all have these people, oh, hold on a second. Is anybody coming to mind? He said, I love you, boy. You start talking about the people that hate you and despitefully use you. persecute you. Somebody that's just a thorn in your side. Somebody that just always is there no matter where you're at. You open up Facebook, they're there. Ah! You can't go anywhere without them being there. I seen you laughing over there. We're all laughing because we all know it's the truth. We all been there. And you know what? Most of the time we're like, I'm at it. I seen them. I'm not going to go by them. We're like trying to get away from them. We're like, I'm not liking her post. I'm not doing that. I'm getting out of here. I'm not going to have nothing to do with them. And you know what? Matter of fact, a lot of times we're like, hey, can you guess who I seen at the Dollar General store? You ain't never going to guess who I seen. Yeah, who came into my hairstyling place? You ain't. Yeah. I'm just kidding. She wouldn't do that. But you know what? Here's the thing. But if we don't give place to the devil, if we want that power to flow through us, like it needs to flow through us, the fruits of the Spirit, amen, the gifts of the Spirit, we want love and joy and peace and gentleness and meaning. We want all that to run through us, amen. I'm telling you, when it happens, you need to get on your knees and say, God, I know they don't like me, but I ask you to bless them. God, I know they're trying to hurt me, but I ask you, God, just to secure them. Let them be strong. Let them be safe, amen. Prosper them in the name of Jesus. Because when we don't pray that prayer and we don't do that, amen, then we become instruments of the enemy. Amen. That's when that power stops to flow through us. It stops to flow through us when we cease to pray for those people. Because if you don't do that, listen to me. If you do not do that, then that's going to cause so many problems in your life, and it's going to cause your thought process to be completely off kilter. Because I don't know about you, but I don't have time, and I can't afford for somebody what they did to cause me to think something, amen, to take root in my mind, in my heart, to shape how I live, how I act, how I think, and my attitude. I ain't got time for that. And if I'm not careful, if we're not careful with that, it will cause certain thoughts to take root in our life. Will take root in our life, and then that will give influence to the enemy to shape me, and it will determine how I treat other people. I was talking to a brother the other day, and I was saying, listen here. I said, I got a verse that is a staple for the Glover family. We have this verse everywhere. On our phones, on our refrigerator. We got it everywhere. My wife's desk, she's got it everywhere. It's Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. We must fill our minds, amen, with the right things in our life. Because if we're not careful, amen, then that thought will take root in our life and have access to shape us. Now, if there's no room to plant a thought can't be planted. If there's no room to plant that type of thought, then that type of thought cannot be planted in my mind or your mind. And that's where it comes back, praying for these people and praying for these circumstances and praying and asking God to bless those that are hurting you and trying to attack you and trying to harm your witness and harm your power. Because that's the thing. There's no power outside of Christ. None. And that's the whole enemy's desire, is to get us to operate outside the character of Christ. If he can get me to operate outside the character of Christ, this is going to be a dead church. I'm going to be dead. It'd be almost kind of like having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Because the devil doesn't care about you going to church and even sitting on the front row. What he is concerned about is that power being evident in your life. And so if he can't get you to look at something, if he can't get you to listen to something, if he can't get you to think about something, if he can't get you to be mad at somebody, he don't have anything in you. I could just see that enemy right now saying, you know what, I've been trying to get a hold of Chrissy. I've been trying to get people mad at her. I've been trying to get people to get at her. But you know what? It ain't working. I've been trying to get her to look at something. I've been trying to get her to look at something and listen to something, trying to listen to bad news and try to listen to this and that, you know, but it ain't working. So what's going on? All I know is they're thinking good things. They're thinking things of good report and lovely and pure and just and right, and they're thinking on good things. You know what? They're not allowing it. They're praying for the people that are spitefully using them, amen, and that hate them. They're blessing those people. They're doing good to these people, amen. There's nothing that I can do. He's like, my God! The power of God's evident in that life. When the power of God's evident in your life, that's when you don't allow that enemy to quench the spirit in your life. But if we will become a people that come sensitive to what grieves the spirit and what quenches the spirit, can I tell you, there's nothing going to be impossible with us. Nothing's going to be impossible with you. Right now, I want to ask every one of you if you would stand up for just a moment. And I'm not going to ask anybody to come down to the altar today, but what I do want to say is that if there's that one person in your mind, that one thought in your mind, that one thing that is trying to get you to quench the spirit, trying to get you to grieve the spirit of God in your life, I'm going to ask you just to raise your hands, and I want you just to ask God to bless that person. Ask God to minister to that person. I'm not asking you to rebuke any thoughts in your mind. I'm asking you to replace those thoughts. Don't rebuke the thoughts, replace the thoughts. So whatever that thought is that may be trying to hinder you, trying to keep you back, trying to harm you, trying to keep you depressed, make you feel like you're not worthy, that you're not worth it, that you're never going to amount to anything. Amen. I want you to replace those thoughts with the right thoughts, the right kinds of thoughts. Amen. I am precious in His sight. I am worthy. God, You did die for me. I am righteous. I am holy, dear God. I am powerful. Amen. There is power in the blood. You will never leave me. You never will forsake me. God, those people that are always talking about me and trying to harm me, I ask You to bless them, God. I ask You to surround their family. I ask You, God, to prosper them in the name of Jesus, God. I ask You, Lord, to walk into their life today and help them. Don't harm them. Don't hurt them, God, but I want You to bless them in the name of Jesus. I think somebody's going to get free this morning. I think somebody's going to walk with liberty this morning. I think today that the power of God is going to continue to flow out of someone's life, because just as easy as that water hose was kinked, just as easy as that water can flow back through it again. If we live a life of repentance, if we keep our minds right, if we bless those that hurt us and harm us, amen, and we seek prosperity for those people and pray for them, I'm telling you, the Spirit of God will continue to flow through your life. Father, there's so many things that come at us on a daily basis. There's so many things that try to get our attention. There's so many different voices out there in this world that want us, dear God, to listen to it and obey it. There's so many different thoughts, dear God, that bombard our minds. But today, Lord, we're going to think on things that are lovely and honest and true and just and pure and good report. We're going to think of the things that have virtue and praise. We're going to think on these things. We will continue, God, to fill our minds and fill our hearts with your word. We can't afford to let anything have influence on our life that's going to shape us and harm us and keep us from allowing the power of an almighty God to flow through us.